approval of the previous month's minutes. Regular meeting, October 15th, 2019. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any additions, deletions, corrections? Any other changes? There being none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes. Next item is citizens' comments. Are there any citizens who would like to comment to the Ways and Means Committee? There appear to be none, so we will move on to financial statements. Treasurer Debbie Suggs.
Thank you. We are reviewing the October 31st, 2019 financial statements tonight. One-third of the city's fiscal year, FY20, has passed. The financial results continue to generally track as expected in the general fund and in revenues. Expenditures are lagging probably a little bit more behind than we would think, just because we haven't had a lot of spending on some of our larger projects. If you look at the front page, I just wanted to point out the annual budget for the entire city, all funds, is a little less than $19 million. We have $14 million to collect of that number. Tourism revenues are at, you know, 30 to 40% collected, but the general fund is only at 19% collected because, of course, our big revenue stream, property taxes, has not started to flood yet, but it will in the next few months. On the expenditure side, citywide, the budget is $22 million. So y'all will recall we knew that we were budgeting more going out than coming in FY20. And we were able to do that because we have fund balances that we've saved for specific projects that will hopefully come to fruition in FY20. Drilling down into general fund revenues, you can see that compared to the prior year, it looks like we're 35% ahead, which would be great. But it's a little bit of an anomaly due to a timing difference associated with certain state revenues. So aid to subdivisions, the general fund portion of accommodations tax, and the local option sales tax, we got a month earlier this year than we did last year. So last year was actually the problem. This year is right. It looks like we're way ahead over prior year, but we're not. It's timing related. So 19% of the budget has been collected, and there's nothing to indicate to me at this point that we have any changes to the budget level of revenues. When the results start to indicate that we might end the year different from budget, then we'll go into a forecast mode. But as of yet, there's nothing to base a forecast different from the budget on. Similar with general fund expenditures. We're at 29% of the budget. The target for 3 months would be 33%. So we're a little under budget, and we're actually a little under this same time last year. But again, nothing to indicate that the budget needs to change into a forecast mode. On the general fund expenditures, I did want to point out that year-to-date personnel costs are slightly below in total, but overtime expense in police, fire, and public works are ahead of budget. Primarily, I believe, due to extra time spent during the preparation and response to Hurricane Dorian. I know that we are in...
But we've already met with FEMA and initiated that whole process to receive reimbursement of up to 75% of force account labor for public works personnel who participated in debris removal collection. Those expenses associated with debris removal are both overtime and regular time are reimbursable at the 75% rate. And for public safety personnel, it'll be just overtime expenses that will be reimbursed.
So it's very likely that some of that overage will come back to the city. when we receive grant revenue from FEMA, we record it as revenue, not as an offset into the expense account. So chances are those overtime accounts will track over budget through the end of the fiscal year, but we'll report to you when we get the revenue to offset. Tourism revenues, and we can get into that when we get to the tourism schedules, I guess. We'll talk about those trends. No other significant variances or trends were noted. Cash position and fund balance in the general fund continue to be strong. Compared to October of 2018, we had $16.5 million in cash. Currently, we have almost $21 million in cash. That kind of supports the previous discussion about how we're budgeting more expenditures than revenues this fiscal year. But the cash is there to support those expenditures. 91% of all deposits are at the LGIP, earning almost 2.28%. At the end of October, we had $1.8 million at BB&T. This week, we transferred $600,000 from BB&T to LGIP because we felt like we had enough cash on hand and we can maximize some interest that way. Fund balances. The 6/30/19 unaudited fund balance number there, that is, unless something extraordinary happens, that will be the audited number. So $19,792,000 in total fund balance. The current fund balance is $20,443,000. The forecasted fund balance, which means if everything happens in the budget as we expect, we will end the fiscal year with a combined fund balance of $16,455,000. Still no significant spending on major projects included in the budget to include the public safety building repair, a fire truck purchase, a fire truck rehab, and drainage.
Excuse me, I have a question. Can we see those on the screen? Because it's easier to understand numbers when you see them.
Mm-hmm. Ron, would you be able to log in to the packet via the IOP.net agendas and minutes page?
Might want to switch over to that side to get a better angle.
Yeah, actually,
put it almost better. Okay, I'm just going to see. Debbie, one quick question while we're good. Is this looking at the impact of Morgan Creek Grill going forward as well when you look at forecasted fund balance at the end of 6/30?
Well, the budget, I believe, anticipated a break in revenue, but not a break in revenue starting
correct
now.
So we might want to look at the impact of pulling that forward and what happens.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
In terms of the fire trucks, we'll wait for that to pull in. We expect the delivery of the 75-foot new ladder truck upcoming January. The 95-foot ladder truck was successfully transported to Florida, and we expect that to be completed by next summer. So we pay upon delivery. That's why those expenses have not yet been incurred.
Still can't read it.
It's very hard to read.
Curtis. Need glasses.
Can't have mine. I can't see that.
These reports are available on the city's website.
Oh. Under agendas and minutes, mm-hmm. All of that.
It is a lot to take in, all it.
Yeah.
This is our new city Administrator Assistant, Ron Hanna.
Hello. I could be easily replaced by a remote.
Not yet.
All right, the next schedule page 3 is the tool that we, it doesn't change from month to month, but the tool that kind of shows the breakdown of the general fund budget and expenditures and pie charts. Then moving on to the tourism schedules, municipal and beach preservation fee, which are the same gross revenue and the same tax collected by the county. They are showing a 1% decline over FY19, which showed a 3% decline over FY18. You'll notice that on the state page, the opposite is trend is in effect. There was a 7.7% increase in FY19 and a 6.2% increase in the first quarter of FY20. I finally got a chance to drill down into those differences, and I still have some questions that I have posed to Tammy Fralick at Charleston County. But one thing we know for sure is that Airbnb, which is a significant taxpayer for accommodations, pays the state but does not pay the county. So in FY19, that is $113,000, split 50-50 between Muni A tax and beach preservation fee. And in FY20, it's $33,000, split 50-50. I don't know that we'll ever recover that money, but I do believe that the county is on the verge of getting Airbnb to comply going forward. I believe Tammy says we'll know more after Thanksgiving, so I'll keep y'all posted on that. And there is another taxpayer that is much smaller, that appears to be doing the same thing, and one that for some reason pays state differently than county. So it could be that we're getting overpaid or underpaid. We'll work with the county and try to figure those things out. But those the reason it's so obvious that something's not right is because those trends should approximately be equal between the municipal A tax and the state A tax.
Wouldn't that also indicate that it would be advantageous for a rental owner to move to Airbnb and away from rental agencies as a consequence of tax, and something we ought to be kind of acutely aware of?
Except that they are, I mean,
no, I understand, but
they are ultimately responsible, so they're underpaying their tax.
But it's the topical issue with the Planning Commission and real property at this point. Mm-hmm.
It's got to get fixed, yes, yeah, for sure.
It does.
Hospitality tax is showing a slight decline over FY19 for the first 4 months of the fiscal year. We'll have to monitor that. Okay, project worksheets, drainage phase 3, there's no new activity. We have just $12,000 remaining on existing contracts associated with engineering and design. But then we have a new project worksheet on public safety building repair. So the budget is built in the darker gray box, shows the spending that actually happened in FY19, the budget for FY20, which is split amongst 3 funds, and then FY21, the forecast spending, which is not split yet because we don't know how that's going to fall out. But the total project cost estimate is 6.295. So far, we've entered into contracts with Trident Construction for phase 1 and phase 2. And then we have a contingency of about $950,000 to cover both a 15% contingency relocation of personnel and housing of them during the construction period, and an owner's representative to represent the city during the whole process of construction. And then under expenditures, you can just see from the very beginning, starting in FY19, the funds that have been expended against this effort.
Good evening, everyone.
Any questions on any of the financial reports?
Mr. Chairman?
Just a note that looking for variances, and just to reiterate what Debbie was saying, the property tax has that 1% of the budget because, as we all know, those come in December and January, and so that'll be over then. And then also the business license for most businesses, brick and mortar businesses especially, are not due till April 30th. But everything else is like right in line. Rental license is that deadline's passed. But any other comments from anyone?
One quick one.
Yes.
I guess good news and bad news. The good news is we're getting 75% reimbursement from FEMA. The bad news is we had to have that.
Any other comments? Being none, we'll move right along. Old business, none. New business, item A, recommendation from the Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee for the city to approve sponsorship request from the Isle of Palms Turtle Team and the Isle of Palms Exchange Club for the Isle of Palms Turtle Hatchling Scavenger Hunt in the amount of $6,000. I believe there's a lady by the name of Ms. Riley here. Yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
Want to make a presentation? If you please come to the mic, state your name, address.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kitty Riley. I act as the chair of the community service team at the Exchange Club, and here with me is Mary Pringle, who leads the turtle team. And then we've been working along with Desiree on the overall proposal. So, as you stated, the reason that we're here is that the ATAX committee unanimously approved us to move forward. So what I thought I'd do is just do a quick overview of what we're proposing, what we would use the money for, and then some of the goals associated with it. So an overview of what we're looking to do is it would be a scavenger hunt. So we'd provide clues via pamphlets and on social media, both from the Exchange Club and on the city site, and potentially with the turtle team. We'd also have pamphlets that would be made up with clues in it. We take you to different places on the Front Beach area where we would have plaques, and Mary has an example of the plaque. They'd be bronze plaques that we'd put in place, so that's one of the areas.
Two
the
different
plaques
ones.
And the pamphlets we would utilize the funds for. So we have them located in six different areas in the Front Beach area. We'd provide the clues. And so the idea behind it is to increase the education and knowledge surrounding the turtle hatchlings and to get to engage children and families, both for visitors as well as our existing residents on the Isle of Palms and in Mount Pleasant. We thought it was a really good example of teamwork between the turtle team, the city, and the Exchange Club. So it's something that we're really looking forward to doing. Our goal would be to kick it off at the Front Beach, and we have the Front Beach Festival. And so we're looking at the March time frame to actually have it in place and kick it off. And Mary also has an example of a turtle hatchling
this
plaque
will be separate
that we
from the
would
plaque.
Like to we have bronze sculptures
on
these as well.
Very good. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I think it's fabulous. So thank you for doing this.
Right.
Thank you, Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree. I think it's a wonderful partnership as well as a great cause, educational cause, and fits perfectly with our island.
Any other comments?
Just one or two other comments. The other comment is that I think we will tie into the reason for no plastics on the island. So I think that'll help to support that as well. And then, depending upon how the initial rollout goes, we may want to do some work in the Wild Dunes and the marina area.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Any other comments?
Just am wondering if y'all considered the rec center.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So that'll be in the future. Yep.
There'll be enough for the comments. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any against?
Did you get the little hatchling?
Motion passes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, very much. Thank you very much. We're on to item B, is recommendation from the Public Safety Committee to approve unbudgeted expenditure not to exceed $10,000 for the purchase and installation of a surveillance camera at Breach Inlet. And I'd like to refer to Councilmember Buchanan, who is head of that committee, to give us a little overview, if you don't mind.
And I'll give more of a report on this, when it moves on to public safety report.
Okay.
City Council. But basically what it is a recommendation to put a camera down at the Breach Inlet area to help monitor those who venture into the water, so you have a better understanding of quicker response.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Yes.
It's just a minor matter of semantics, but sometimes the word surveillance, especially when it's government-driven, makes people nervous. This idea originally came up as a safety measure, so I would suggest using the language a safety camera or something comparable.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Just a question, just to ensure, I believe this has been covered in previous discussions, but in terms of the observation of this camera, that falls within the purview of existing personnel on public safety staff, is that correct?
Correct. It would be monitored by fire and police department.
Right. Anyone else?
One quick.
Yes, sir.
Can we have the Grim Reaper sign back down here? Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, I see. Did you have a comment, Desiree?
I did. Wanted to comment on the fact that it is an unbudgeted expenditure. However, we came under budget in the purchase of the vehicles, so we are proposing to redirect some of those funds. I think the overage was around $22,000, and we would have enough to cover that cost for
okay.
the purchase and installation.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes unanimously. Item C, recommendation from the Public Safety Committee to implement a reserve officer program in the police department. And I had a meeting with Desiree this afternoon, and I'd like to get some comments from you, but I think you told us it's going to cost $184 or something.
Yes, the only, and I think Chief Cornett can also expand on some of the details about the program. This came to me as a recommendation from our police chief. The city had a reserve officer program in the past, and now we have an officer who has decided to change careers. However, he still wants to be involved, has all the accreditation and all the certifications necessary. So it was proposed for the department to re-implement such a program again. The only cost, it'd be a volunteer basis. The only cost to the city would be to maintain the workers' comp insurance for the employee, and it's roughly $184 a year. They would use one of the two backup vehicles that we have in the police department. This particular officer already has the uniform, so there wouldn't be any initiating costs other than maintaining insurance.
Very good. Is there a motion to approve?
One question.
Yes.
So right now we're just proposing this program because we have someone who can use it right away. But this, I mean, say, are we going to accept applications for this reserve program? Is it going to be an ongoing program? I'm not sure. When I read it, it was pretty specific to one particular person. But if it's a program, I think we need to have a budget for a program. Mm-hmm.
Chief Cornett, do you have any comments at this time?
Not necessarily. I would say that maybe
name an address too.
30 Stacy Long Boulevard. Not necessarily. The only thing I would say to that is, in the past, I've been with departments where we've thought about this. I've always had a concern with reserve officers because you're getting somebody to volunteer, and going through the vetting process is somebody who wants to volunteer to wear a gun and a badge for free. It's kind of scary, so we want to make sure we get the right people. So right now, the reason I'm willing to move forward with this is because we have somebody who has worked with us. They understand our ways. Maybe in the future, it could be something that we look at, and I probably would take that out of existing budget lines that are already there. But at this point, I wanted to move forward with somebody who we know is going to be an asset to our department.
Okay.
However, if there is somebody else out there that would fit the bill, they could come to you and apply or whatever.
Correct. They would, if we did extend it further, they would have to go through an application process just like a certified officer. They'd have to be vetted just like we do somebody who's coming on as a full class one officer.
Okay. And that process in and of itself is challenging to get people who are interested in law enforcement. Therefore, I mean, I don't think we're going to bet
the first interview with Chief Cornett would be very difficult.
I don't think we're going to see a swarm of people who want to come to the city,
work for free
as a volunteer based on all the certifications and things that they have to maintain current.
Okay, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Yes, ma'am.
You did a great job on Channel 5 with this.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
Thank you. Any other comments? There being none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes unanimously. Item D, recommendation from the Real Property Committee to apply to the Greenbelt Program to use the city's allocation for the construction of ADA-compliant beach walkover and observation deck at 42nd Avenue. At this time, I'd like to let Mr. Bell make the report about this, and he knows more about it than I.
So this item came up as a consequence, and Desiree, correct me on the amounts, but about $146,000. 149,000, off by three, not too bad, of monies that we have to have a recommendation in by the end of January for how we'd like to allocate that Greenbelt funds to a potential project that gets approved by the county in concert with the city. And the recommendation from Real Property was that we take the 42nd Avenue where the blue beach mat currently exists and upgrade that to a wood boardwalk. This particular recommendation was to use EPE wood so that we wouldn't have to redo it every 5 years, and included an observation deck and still allowed for emergency access, which is, you know, key down here. But frankly, we thought it would be a good use of available public funds from Charleston County to upgrade. I think one other thing that's notable, this allows me also to skip this in the Real Property report, we have one handicap parking space there now, and the discussion at Real Property was, let's look at going upwards to four handicap spots and recognize that this will be a key access point for people with difficulty.
Thank you for that report. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I totally agree with Councilman Bell.
Yes, sir.
To Councilmember Bell and the rest of the Real Property Committee, fully supportive of this. Just curious what other proposals or projects were considered and compared.
I would have to defer that to Desiree because this was her submitted mm-hmm. recommendation from working on.
Yeah, the Greenbelt, the funds are usually available for purchase of land, and because we're a beach community, we just don't have enough. We don't have enough options to do that, and it increases, I guess, our opportunity for other type projects that other communities don't. The committee during the budget process talked about enhancing public access for ADA and people with physical challenges. So we thought that it would be a good idea to submit this project for Greenbelt funding. Important to note, the city will have an annual allocation between $35,000 and $45,000. The 149 is what we have currently allocated. So there will be an opportunity for each year to submit additional projects. We have discussed maybe foot bridges that enhance the beach access paths. They can't go over the dune system based on OCRM requirements, and they would not be ADA compliant. But we talked about doing something, maybe an observation desk, something for folks who have physical challenges to get to the beach. So for this particular, the one that staff proposed was pursuing this one to meet that goal.
Desiree, just one additional comment. We did discuss, number one, the project has to be something we think will get approved, right? So this seems like a high probability project. The other thing I'd asked at Real Property, we don't do, and with people in the audience, feel free to participate, we don't do a lot of public-private participation. So as we look at the funding for this and spending additional money on something like EPE instead of, treated wood that's going to go away, is, how can we get the public engaged either through GoFundMe or some other vehicle where we have these high probability, high impact programs to engage the community a little more. So if y'all would take that into consideration in the audience and carry that message forward.
I think the other consideration, go back to your question, those funds cannot be used on existing infrastructure, so it has to be something new. So that even furthers our options for projects.
Well, I would commend the accessibility extension. And I think that's a great message to see the community that we want to be inclusive and provide that level of access.
Very good. Any other comments? Okay. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any against? None. Motion passes unanimously. Number E. consideration of award to Insight Group LLC in amount of $26,840 for construction management services for the public safety building repair project. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. Desiree?
Yes. I will comment that we talked about, again, when the city went through the approval of the budget for the public safety building rehabilitation project, to include additional funds for an owner's representative, basically a third pair of eyes that will go and work with Trident Construction and the design build team on behalf of the city to ensure that the drawings are accurate, and basically we don't find ourselves in this same situation that we are in now 10 years from now. Staff issued a request for proposals. Four proposals were received, and each person was interviewed, and the recommendation is to award the contract to Insight Group, knowing basically due to the fact that they have had successful experience in renovation projects, not new projects, but going back and repairing buildings, we felt comfortable with that, and also they have worked in the past with Trident. And has expressed, you know, a very collaborative approach for projects such as this. The contract amount that we're recommending is based on a number of hours. As we all know, as soon as construction begins, things may be uncovered that we don't know yet. I don't necessarily think that the chances of that happening are too high, but it could happen. So we may be in a position to revise that contract if it comes, then we'll obviously come before council and make that request. But for now, we feel comfortable with the base contract amount.
Very good, thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Number one, I wish we had them 11 years ago, but that's hindsight. Are there any guarantees with their, I mean, I'm so glad that we're doing this. I think this is a smart way of doing a building like this. But any guarantees on like when we were in a lawsuit for several years on the previous.
Mm-hmm. They have to maintain insurance just like any other contractor. So, okay. Yes, there would be.
Any other quick comments? Yes, ma'am.
I presume that Mr. James Frank, that's the name of the gentleman that will be actually overseeing, has he met with Douglas, and so there's a good rapport between them and they.
And Chief Graham as well.
And Chief Graham, okay. And the liability insurance and bonded is all good.
That would happen as soon as the contract is executed.
Other questions, comments? There being none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes unanimously. item F, consideration of approval of amount not to exceed $100,000 for a 12-month rental of one double and one triple wide temporary offices for the police and fire departments to use during the rehabilitation of the public safety building. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Boy, I tell you, these things have gone up. You know?
Yes, if I may, we received pricing from the same company that is leasing us the current trailer that we have for part of the fire department staff. Those costs exceeded the approval threshold for the city administrator or council to award without a competitive bidding process. Due to time constraints, since council is not meeting in December, and we cannot wait really until the end of January to award a contract, we're requesting you all to approve and not to exceed amount we are going through the competitive bidding process, so we will be seeking proposals, bids for the trailer, so we'll comply with our code, but that way it authorizes me to execute a contract without necessarily waiting until the end of January to do that. Our goal is to have those trailers in place by first, second week of February. Right now, the current schedule, which we are on schedule with the project, has demolition and mobilization starting in March. So we want to have the trailers in place several weeks prior to that so that we can hook them up to power, internet, and do all that, all of those necessary adjustments so that they're functional.
Very good. Any comments or questions? Yes, ma'am.
So if we have an event, a weather event, mm-hmm. Will they be able to be removed, or I can't remember, because we did this before and there was an issue, mm-hmm. and it's sort of floating back up. Brian, I don't know if you can refresh my memory on that.
At that time, I believe they were given enough notice, depending on the size, when you have a storm.
It depends on the size, yeah. It depends on how much notice we have, and they're graded commercially, so they mm-hmm. should be able to withstand. This past year, we secured them, and again, I think it depends on timing, because they take a lot of effort to be installed.
Right.
I can't guarantee if the city's going to be in a position to be able to remove them ahead of a storm. If so, I think we would obviously take advantage of that. However, I don't think in the past they have been removed. They have been secured in place.
Okay.
And all the things inside removed. Did we remove them? This was way before my time. Chief Graham, do you want to comment? Yes, please.
So, our second round of trailers, we did have to move some.
Yes.
I can't remember the storm.
Okay.
They were relocated and brought back, put back in place. This past storm, we did not relocate. We had very, very little in the trailers, and I was assured that they were strapped down to 130 miles an hour, so we took our chances. Mm-hmm. But in the past, yes, we have relocated
right.
trailers.
Thank you.
Sandy?
I've noticed that this is just for offices.
Mm-hmm.
What about the personnel who have to sleep there?
It includes
mm-hmm. all of those sorts of things.
Yep. And it'll mirror the operations from the public safety building. We will keep access to the IT room.
Okay.
That will remain operational, so that will not need to be relocated. And also the evidence room for the police department.
Any other questions, comments? There being none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion passes unanimously. Item number 7, miscellaneous business. Next meeting date scheduled for 5 p.m. Tuesday, January 21st, 2020 in City Hall. And there's no need for executive session, so do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.